What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Sports Talk with Naj. I'm Naj, the host. Today, I have on with me Milton coach Ben Reeves. They're having a phenomenal season. They are in the quarterfinals right now. They have a matchup against Grayson this week at home. So, I'm just excited to talk to him today. We got a lot to get into, kind of, how, his coaching career started and, getting into kind of the team and how they've been playing this year. So, I'm going to go ahead and bring in coach now. How you feeling, coach?
Hey, feeling good. Just like we were saying, excited to be at work this week. It's always the goal as a coach to be practicing over Thanksgiving. So just blessed. And it's definitely one of those weeks where, you get to come to work. You don't have to come to work. So just soaking that up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we'll go ahead and get started. Coach, I read some things about you. I found out, you were kind of a coach's kid. Growing up, you were young. You kind of got to, I think your dad was a high school coach, if I'm not mistaken. And you kind of learned from him. I think it was, 5-6 years old when you were young. Just how was that learning from somebody that's done the job? And what are some things you learned from him just, being young and some things you're able to soak up?
Yeah, so I definitely grew up, at the football field and just was always around it and knew at an early age that it's something that I wanted to do and pursue. And I had a great model dad to watch growing up. And he always had good men on his staff too, that I was able to learn from, but just seeing the fun that he had at work every day, just seeing how the kids did and gravitated towards him was just something that I always wanted for my own life. And ultimately that kind of drew me towards coaching. And then you add into the fact that, we're coaching a game that we love so much, a game that is limited. When it's over for you, it's over for you. But whenever you coach, it still gives you an opportunity to be as close to it as possible. And I guess I just was never ready to truly give it up. So I tried to stay as close to it as possible. But, just would always watch him from afar and watch his coaches from afar and just soak up what I could and learned a lot from them. Actually, whenever my playing career ended at Georgia, I stayed on and did a student assistantship there with them for a season, working with the scout team receivers and helping out with some of the defensive personnel stuff. And those guys, man, they live at the office. They have time to do nothing, no family. Not a lot of stuff with friends. And it's just something that I didn't really want for my life. I wanted to have a little more balance. So I ended up in the high school ranks and here I am today.
Yes, sir. And you said that you played in high school and college. What position did you play? And then what high school did you actually go to?
So I went to Newton High School in Covington, Georgia. And my dad was actually, my head coach. During that time, which was a funny dynamic and one I'll have to figure out one day because I have a son and my wife is 39 weeks pregnant. So we're going to have another one any day now, hopefully not on Friday because I don't want to have to make that choice. I'm joking. I'll be born. But, that'll be a dynamic I'll have to figure out one day for myself. But yeah, so early on was a quarterback and I was also a pitcher and I was playing for 3 baseball teams and just completely threw my arm out, had to have surgery on it. Back then I knew more than the trainers and the doctors. So I started doing stuff, before they said I could. And of course ended up, tearing it up all over again. So long story short, I transitioned over to wide receiver and that's just kind of where I made my money from there. Had some opportunity, took a PWO at Georgia just because I knew, not that I needed to go to the biggest college or this and that, but I just knew that I would never forgive myself if I didn't go find out, if I can make it at that level or not. So that's what I chose to do, but ended up getting my 7th concussion, total while I was there. I had three there in 2 years that were pretty bad. So at that point, that's when my career kind of just ended and joined the coaching staff for a year. And
Got you. And I want to ask about that, coach, because you mentioned the 7 concussions. We see it kind of getting more of a microscope now and on the NFL ranks and things like that. How serious is the injury being that you've been through it? And usually how long did it take you to recover? And then do you have any like lingering effects from them?
Yeah. So I, it's hard for me to truly know about lingering effects, just because I started getting concussions when I was a sophomore in high school. And to be honest, I've kind of forgot like what my baseline or what my normal is, if that even makes sense. You know, I really don't remember how I felt pre-concussion, but I do know that, you know, it definitely took a couple of weeks to get over. And of course, the more you get, the longer it takes. My seventh one, I was in the hospital for 3 days. It was a weird feeling, you know. Two of those days, I couldn't really get up and walk. I wasn't paralyzed. My mind was just so discombobulated that I just couldn't do it. It was a weird feeling. So the severity of that one is definitely what made them end my playing career early. But yeah, you know, there's different research now. Back then, when you would get one, they would put you in a dark room and you would just kind of stay there until your symptoms ended. And research now, I think, is pointing to being a little bit more active and getting your body going. Right. So, you know, I'm curious if I had gone that route, if they would have lasted as long. But, you know, the good news is today the awareness is there. The equipment is safer. There just wasn't the awareness, especially back when I was in high school. You know, we didn't even have an athletic trainer on staff at our high school. So it was our coaches taping ankles and diagnosing this and that. And that was kind of the norm for the area. And, you know, they did the best they could, but it's just so much safer nowadays, just from the awareness, the medical personnel on staff every day, the equipment the kids wear. So yeah, I'm glad to see that the game has shifted in that direction.
I agree. And that's what it comes down to, just being safer, as you mentioned, better technology now, better research. And just, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about your health. Everybody loves football, but it's all about the health at the end of the day, for sure. And sure. I want to talk about your coaching career now. So I read you did two stints, South Georgia, and then you did another one in Florida. So what schools did you kind of coach there, and how was that experience? What are some things you garnered and you learned from that kind of experience?
Yeah, so I knew that immediately whenever I graduated college, I wanted to go straight into grad school and start working on, you know, some post-grad degrees. So they had a program at Valdosta State that allowed me to teach during the day, go to practice at night, and then actually go to night school. So those were some long days. So I applied to every school I could in the vicinity of Valdosta State. And the one that ended up sticking was Berrien County, a AA school in Nashville, Georgia. I told my friends out of college I was moving to Nashville, and they thought it was the coolest thing ever. And I was like, no, Nashville, Georgia, there's one stop sign and a McDonald's. And but it was a good year for me. It was definitely a culture shock going from Athens, Georgia to Nashville, Georgia at 22 years old. But right. It was good because, you know, we would get home from the JV game and we still would have to go paint the lines on the field. So just some of the stuff that we don't have to do now, we still would have to drive tapes back and forth. So I'm glad that I got to experience some of the, I guess, hardships of how coaching used to be, because there's some things now that's very easy for us. The field's always lined. We shoot film directly on huddle. We have a lot of conveniences now, but I'm glad that I was able to be at a place where we didn't, just so I can appreciate what we have now. But yeah, I coached there for a year and just always wanted to live at the beach. And I had a connection. Actually, Coach Calhoun, the head coach at Colquitt County, he took his first job at Berrien County as well. So we've known each other for a long time. And he had a connection down in Sarasota, Florida, that he hooked me up with. So I was like, you know what, man, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to teach. I'm going to coach. I'm going to live at the beach. And it was a good 2 years. It was good just to get away on my own and have to grow up and be forced to, you know, do some stuff by myself. And it really helped me mature. But ultimately, you know, I'd walk through the hallways on Friday and ask the kids kind of, you know, are y'all coming to the game? And some of them would be like, what game? And it's just not the same down there as it is here.
Interesting.
And one of the reasons I want to coach is to stay around the game, the Friday night light feel and atmosphere. And getting that down there, I wanted to get back to it. So ironically, a coach that used to work for my dad, Kevin Reach, who's the head coach of Monroe area, he was the head coach at Collins Hill High School. Sean Calhoun was the offensive coordinator at Collins Hill High School. And wow. I was able to connect with those two and get a job at Collins Hill.
Yeah, I came. I did read that. So
I was there from 2011 until the 2016 season. Mm-hmm. And then after that is when I made my way over to Milton in 2017 with Coach Clack.
Nice. Yeah, you actually answered one of my questions. I definitely asked you about how that Collins Hill thing worked. Real quick, before I get to that point, you mentioned kind of how the technology was different as far as playing. I noticed now, too, you'll see, like, let's say your team's out on the field. It's a fourth down, you punt. Like, they have it now where you can kind of walk me through how the technology works, like, where you can watch whatever just happened, the series. You can watch it right then and there. I feel like that wasn't there before. Like, you can watch it right then and there. You can assess, hey, this is what we're doing wrong. We need to do better with our protection here or our coverage here. How cool is that to be able to do that on the sideline, kind of in the media instead of like later in the game or on film?
Yeah, it's very cool. There's a part of me that wishes we didn't have that technology because it kind of takes away the advantage of guys who are really good coaches. You know, guys who are really good coaches, they have to diagnose stuff live. They don't, and you know, everybody wouldn't be able to make the adjustments they currently make. They didn't have the video to watch after every series. But that's neither here nor there. It is very beneficial to be able to, as a coach, see just what happened, you know, because we spend a lot of time planning out our schemes and our plays. And when something breaks down, you're like, man, what happened? Was it a bad call or was it a player issue? And it used to help me out big time as a play caller because I was able to diagnose, yeah, that's not a good play call because schematically it's just not working tonight, as opposed to it is a good play call, we just didn't execute it properly, so we're going to stick with this one. So yeah, a huge advantage, especially now just being a head coach and not being able to go over to the TV or be up in the box in between series. There's an iPad right there, so I can look at something real quick if I need to and kind of go from there.
Gotcha. And then I always talk about your career, obviously, at Collins Hill. You know Sean Calhoun really good. They have a great program over there in Colquitt. I think they're 12-0 right now, undefeated. I believe they play North Gwinnett, I believe, this week, if I'm not mistaken. What were some things you kind of learned under him, and what kind of makes him such a great coach? And what's the things he taught you while, you know, kind of under his tutelage?
Yeah, so one of the things I initially picked up on with him was just his professionalism. You know, he came, he did a little stint in college football, and he carried that professionalism of college football down into the high school ranks. Everything was important to him. Everything was a big deal, as it should be. There was a huge attention to detail. Everything mattered. And I enjoyed being around that because that was the same standard that I set for myself. And so, you know, that was the main thing and the first thing I picked up on. And then secondly, he's just a really smart football coach, you know, really good with X's and O's, sees the game well, relates to the kids well. They buy into what he's doing. And it's hard not to because he does have a good plan for everything, kind of going back to the professionalism piece. So, yeah, you know, he definitely helped my career out tremendously and gave me a good jump start to where I am today.
Yes, sir. And I read something that said you call this program, you call it Empire. That's kind of like the nickname. Where did that kind of originate from? And, you know, why do you call it Empire?
Yeah, so before I got here, Coach Silvestri, our AD, he did a good job of just kind of rebranding Milton and, you know, making the M stand for something. And once we kind of caught fire with the M and rep the M, then we started using words that, you know, you could substitute the letter M for the M sound at times. And I didn't actually come up with Empire. It was kind of a term that was, you know, circulating here. I just use it more often. Oh, and the reason why I use it is because this community is such a good community. And these kids are great kids. They deserve the world. And there's no reason why we can't build a quote unquote empire right here in Milton. You know, empires, if you go back to you know, history, they're sustainable. You know, people fear them. They're able to support themselves, so on and so forth. And we can do that same thing here. And, you know, it's just a term that I always throw out. And, you know, thankfully we have built something great here and we're still building something great here. So I continue to use that term of building an empire.
Yes, sir. I like it. I mean, I think it's really catchy. And I mean, obviously you guys built something special there. I mean, last year state final, and then I think you guys won it all in 2017 as a champion. So something building special there.
Yeah, it was 2018. We won it all. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And I want to ask you, Coach, let's go to the season. Week one, you're playing Lipscomb Academy. You're playing Trent Dilfer, who's the head coach. How was that experience? I mean, I looked at kind of some of their games. Look, you guys gave them the toughest test they've kind of had all year. What kind of went down in that game, and what were some things you learned from that kind of outcome?
Yeah, so it was, hey, you know, welcome to being a head coach. Here's Trent Dilfer and one of the top teams in the nation for your first game. But it was a cool experience, and it really set the tone and solidified who this team was. And that's why I'm so glad that we played that tough schedule early on, because this team, from the moment that I inherited them, from the moment that we, you know, were state runner up last year and the entire team essentially graduated, this team was told what they can't do. They were going to be the team that, you know, broke the region win streak and didn't win region, and they weren't going to be able to do this, weren't going to be able to do that. And that created an attitude amongst these kids. And we came up with a slogan for this year, FIWB, flush it, we ball, basically meaning there's nothing that's going to get us down. No matter what happens, we're going to flush it. We're not going to worry about it. We're going to go out there and ball like we know that we can do. And we talked about that all spring. We talked about it all summer. And then game one, here comes Lipscomb Academy. And it was time to either, you know, put up or shut up. And I watched that game. And when we walk off the field of a 17-7 loss, actually missed two field goals as well, Trent Dilfer said, we're the hardest playing team he's ever coached against. And right there, I knew that we really embraced FIWB. We really embraced the attitude that we said we were going to play with. So just leave that game, I had so much hope for this team, because like I told them, if you go out there and just empty your game, every play, and play for each other, we can play as long as you want to. And that's what they've done this year, no matter who we've played against. And that's a large part as to why we're still playing today.
Yes, sir. And I want to talk about the game last week too, Coach. By the way, I love that slogan, flush it, we ball. That's a dope. Whoever came up with that, kudos to them. I love that for yes, sure. Sir. But you guys played Norcross. I think the score was 21-9 at halftime. Obviously, you know, Norcross is battle tested. They're going to fight all the way to the end. I think the final score, I think, was 30-23. Correct me if I'm wrong there. But what happened in that game, second half, and how are you guys able to just kind of close it out and win it?
Yeah, so, you know, just as the season goes along, the more people that count us out, the more people that call us the underdog, the more people that put us on upset alert, the more pissed off this team gets. And it was another week of, you know, we were on upset alert and this and that, playing, you know, Norcross coming from Gwinnett with all these athletes. And our team just came out hot and on fire, all three phases. And they just came out ready to get after it, ready to jump on somebody and prove them wrong. And that's exactly what they did in the first half. And sometimes, you know, transitioning out of halftime is tough, especially when it's cold. Unfortunately, we had a couple players, you know, DeBron Gatling, he was uncoverable in the first half. He was literally going off like I've never seen. They couldn't cover him. He ended up cramping up. He couldn't play the second half. So there was a couple offensive weapons that we didn't have access to in the second half. We started sputtering a little bit because of it. Norcross is a great team, great athletes, well coached. So, you know, they're going to score their points. They're going to get theirs. And then we had a blocked punt on special teams, a couple turnovers on defense. And it's just good to see all three phases come back together and seal that game and put that game away.
Yes, sir. And then real quick update on Gatlin. How is he feeling now? And is he going to play Friday night?
Yeah, he's good to go. It's just a little cramp that we weren't quite able to recover from that night, but he's fine. He'll be ready Friday night, and hopefully he picks back up where he left off, because he was on fire the other night.
Yes, sir. And Let's talk about Luke Nickell. We talked about him earlier this year. I mean, he's been balling. Only a sophomore, and you said when we talked, one of his biggest attributes, he never gets rattled, which, like you said, it's rare in a quarterback, especially in the high school level. You can see adversity hit. Let's just say, for example, back-to-back interceptions, a quarterback will kind of, you'll see he'll hesitate with reads. The receiver will be open, but he'll hesitate throwing the ball. Instead of throwing it, he might run it, or he might hold it a little bit longer. Just what allows him at a young age just to not get riled and just kind of, like you said, that slogan, flush it, we ball, and just keep going no matter what adversity strikes.
Yeah, you know, he's always played at a high level, no matter what age he was. And he had a really good mentor in his older brother who played at a high level. He started for us as a freshman. He was a part of that 2018 state championship team. And so Luke has just always been in that environment. He's always been groomed and ready for those big moments. He's always wanted those big moments. And if you're going to be the starting quarterback at Milton, you better want big moments, because they're going to happen whether you like it or not. And he's just always attacked those moments as opposed to cowering away from them. And yes, it's the ultimate flush it, we ball attitude. No matter what happens, he flushes it because he knows that, A, we're still in the game, and B, we're always a play away from scoring. No matter what has previously happened or what situation we're in, we're always a play away with the guys we have on this team. And he takes the field with that confidence, and it's a settling confidence as well, just not only for our team, but for our offensive unit. And it's something that, you know, you really can't drill that. There's no quarterback drills that can get you in that mindset. I think a lot of it is just how he's raised, his upbringing, and just the confidence that he has in himself, and just some of the mental toughness that he's developed over his years of being a competitor.
Yes, sir. And let's talk about Scott Maskowitz. We know he's having a good season. I know you like to pass it, but you also mix the run, like that game against Norcross. I'm not sure how the game ended, but sure, when Gatlin went down, I mean, obviously still depending on your other playmakers, but you probably ran the ball more. We know he's a physical back. He has a good burst of speed. He's a power runner. So what element does he kind of bring to your offense, you know, when you want to run the ball and it's cold like it is now, and you got to kind of depend on the run game, maybe just a little bit more than during the regular season?
Yeah, just a huge advantage having him on our team. You know, he, like we talked about previously this year, he's able to do whatever you need him to do, catch the ball out of the backfield, run the ball, pass pro. But the past couple of weeks, and I did an interview Friday night, and I labeled him the closer, because that's literally what he's been doing the past couple of weeks, really going back to our region championship game with Lambert. Is by the end of the end of the game, you know, into the fourth quarter, he's just been pounding on teams. You know, he's tough to tackle. He's tough to bring down. You'll never see one person bring him down. And he's just delivering blow after blow after blow. And eventually defenses have just broken. And, you know, call him the closer, because he's always found a way to seal the game for us, to punch one in the end zone late. He's had some long runs late, which just speaks to his conditioning, speaks to how he practices, that he's still got that much in the tank to where in the fourth quarter he can break away from an entire defense. So, yeah, man, we're lucky to have him, and he's a hell of a back. He really is. And like I said, last year Jordan McDonald went down, I think, for four or five games, and he stepped right in as a junior, and we didn't skip a beat. So we knew that we were going to have something special with him this year as a senior on our team.
Yes, sir. And for your team, I'm not sure if you looked at film yet. I know it's still kind of early in the week, but if you have, which what stands out to you in film when you watch Grayson? I know one of the things some coaches have said is speed, kind of how they fly around to the football. But what are some things you kind of noticed out on film when you look at Grayson?
Yeah, so we started watching film really on Friday night. So seen a lot of film on those guys. And, yeah, speed is a big thing. Just length, you know. Length is a huge thing on their team. They look like a Division II college football team out there. When you watch them on defense, it looks like they got 15 guys on the field, just the way they move around and fly around. So it's going to be a tough test for us for sure, just matchup-wise. But I go back to the first couple of games we played this season. I'll never forget whenever we were up in Ohio and Christian Brothers took the field, I thought that we were playing a Division II college football game. Everybody on the team looked like they were 6'3", 250 plus, just monsters everywhere. And our team saw it. They didn't cower away from it. They started playing hard. They started emptying their tanks. They started playing for each other. And next thing you know, we're in a great football game with this team that's twice our size. It could be the same thing this Friday night. You know, they're long, they're tall, they're big, they're fast, they're physical, all the things you want in a football team. But because of those lessons we learned early on, I know our team's going to go out there and just attack it, empty their tanks on the field, compete, and just see where it gets us at the end.
I want to ask you about that too, Coach, and I want you to elaborate a little bit more. How important, because I feel like that's one of those components of high school football that may get a little bit overlooked, but I feel like it's very integral and very vital piece when you have a football team and you're playing late in the playoffs. Just describe for me that non-region schedule. How important is that going against upper echelon teams, like you said, the Lipscomb Academy, the Ohio team that had the Christian Brothers? Just battling those teams like that early, finding out more about your team, getting those lessons early in the year, so then when you face another similar team later on in the season, you're already ready and you battle tested.
Yeah, so whenever you play the top teams in the country, you're going to find out where your kinks are, where your flaws are. You're going to be able to address them early. So that's one advantage of playing a tough schedule early on. But secondly, I mean, you're going to have to fight every single play for four quarters to stay in the game, to try to win the game. And it gets to a point in the playoffs to where you have to do the same thing. And, you know, everybody's regions are different. Everybody doesn't get challenged the same within their region. Some years you do, some years you don't. But just to make sure that whether it's in region or out of region, we get challenged every year, tooth and nail, fighting to the wire challenge, like our season depends on it, which it will later on, which it does now. That's why we do that. So that whenever we get to these moments late in the year, we can always reflect back with confidence and know we've played the number 12 team in the country. We've gone toe-to-toe with a team that was twice our size. We've had to fight for four quarters to win a game, to be in a game. So the fact that we see it now or have to do it now doesn't intimidate us because we've already done it, and we know what it's about. We know what it feels like.
Yes, sir. And I would talk about what's the kind of mindset defensively in this game. We know Grayson, they're kind of more run dominant, but then again, you can't sleep on their pass because they can air the ball out. They have a kid, Caden Hive, can really stretch out the defense. But obviously, we know they're going to run it with Joe Taylor and run it with Dylan Elder. So what's kind of your mindset defensively kind of to slow them down?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough. They can score however they want to. They got weapons all over the field, but it'll be fun to watch because defensively, that's the strength of our team as well. You know, we returned a lot of veterans on defense. We got two of the top safeties in the country. We're very good at the linebacker position. We got some of the scrappiest kids I've ever been around on the D-line that just get after it, play after play after play. So it's going to be a fun matchup to watch just from a football perspective. You know, an offense that is balanced but can do it however they want to, and a defense that has some talent, has some veterans, and is just wanting to fight every play.
Yes, sir. And we know how talented your defense is. As you mentioned, those two very highly rated safeties. And then, you know, Jack Lawson, we talked earlier, him converting from wide receiver to linebacker, him having, I think it, you got to correct me on the injury, but I know he had a cast.
Yeah.
But having Will Parton, having there's another one, having those two and being able to rush, how important is that in this game as well?
Yeah, I mean, There's, you know, you mentioned Will Parton, Caleb Moran, Wyatt Smalley, Owen Phillips. You know, I can just keep going on and on and on. And those kids, man, they're going to empty their tanks, and they're good football players. You know, they're college caliber football players as well. So when you take that talent and then you take their effort, good things can happen for you. And that's all I can ask from them. And I know they're going to do that. And like I said, we'll just see where it gets us as the game ends.
Sir, now let's go back to that region title victory. How cool was that, Coach? We had talked, you told me, you know, people were counting you guys out. This is going to be seen as going to ruin everything, ruin the streaks, ruin the fifth straight region title. How cool was it to be in that moment on the road, I believe, against Lambert and going in there and getting the victory? How cool was that for your team?
Yeah, it was almost storybook, to be honest with you. Not just because I was the head coach, but just because I've seen the journey that these kids have been on since January. I've heard, you know, the verbal that they've taken all year, the doubt they've taken all year. So just to see them have that moment of success and relief and, you know, comp and everything that we believed in, to see them accomplish that meant so much. And it was a defining moment for our program. We talk about this being an empire and building an empire. That win right there solidified Milton, solidified Empire, solidified this program, because it's a new region. It's a new coaching staff. It's a new crop of kids, but it's the same result, right? And so that to me just solidifies that what we're doing in this program is right and it's good and it works, because everything about this year was new except for the recipe that we've been using the past 5 years. And when you take a new crop with the same recipe and the same result, it just solidifies everything about Milton football that we believe in.
Yes, sir. And I want to ask too, Coach, obviously, you know, you mentioned kind of, I think last time we talked, you said it was like taking it kind of game by game, but Coach, what is the true ceiling of this team? What is the end goal of kind of what you accomplished? I think you said, you know, we just won. I know one of it was win the region title, but now you're in the quarterfinals, Coach. You got a chance to clinch a spot in the semifinals. I mean, how deep can this team go?
Yeah, so definitely not overlooking anybody. And we know that it's not going to be an easy road to get there, but from the first week of the playoffs, anytime we break it down as a team, we started breaking it down on the word state. And my message was, if you don't believe that we can win state, don't hear. I only want guys saying that term that believe we can do it. And as long as they believe we can do it and they keep playing the way that they're playing, I believe that anything is possible for this team. And I don't know where their ceiling is, but I know that I'm having a hell of a time finding out. And they're a fun team to watch and be around.
Yes, sir. And what do you think in this game against Grayson? We know what they like to do. We know they like to do defensively. Just what do you think are the keys to victory? What does Milton need to do Friday night to kind of come out with a win?
Yeah, so, you know, you're going to get two well-coached teams. You're going to get two teams that can score, two teams that can stop an offense, two teams that put a lot of emphasis and pride on special teams. So I really think it's going to be the intangibles, you know, which team plays harder, which team plays for each other, which team just refuses to lose, because both teams can do so many great things. It's going to be who wants it more is what it really is going to come down to. So I'm excited to see where that leads us.
Yes, sir. And final question, Coach, to kind of wrap up the podcast interview for you, Coach. How has it been? Walk me through your journey just this season. First year head coach, you were the offensive coordinator. We know how great you were calling plays. I mean, I've seen even last year when I was kind of an intern at AJC. I mean, that first game you guys had, I think it was Hatfield Charter, 45-0. I mean, it was just creative play calling the whole game. How cool is it to be where you are right now, the head coach, and how has the experience been in the first year?
Yeah, it's been a great ride. Like I said, you know, I've had some really good players and some really good guys that could do some things with the ball. So that definitely helps a lot of the play calls that I made in the past. But it's been different, you know, because I have turned the offense over, turned the defense over. I'm not really doing any positional coaching, just more overall football coaching. So that's been an adjustment for me. But it's been fun to run the program. There's been a lot of pride built here in what we've done. And you know, I almost look at myself as a protector of that. Like I'm trying to protect the work that has been put in prior to this team and keep it going for the betterment of the program. And it's been fun to do that, but also add my own flair on things, my own swag to everything. And, you know, I've learned a lot. I still don't know everything. You really don't know what you don't know until you get in the seat and just start finding out. Every day's different. That's also what makes it fun, is that every day's different and it's always a new challenge, and it definitely never gets stale.
Yes, sir. Well, I want to say thanks again, Coach, for joining my podcast today. It was a lot of fun talking to you, learning more about your journey and kind of your team. And hopefully I can have you on again. Good luck to your team on Friday night against the Grayson Rams. Looking forward to seeing that result in that game.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on. always love and appreciate being able to talk about the program. And hopefully we're still playing in a couple of weeks and we can talk again.
Yes, sir. Hopefully. Go Eagles.
That's right. Go Eagles.
All right, Coach. Thanks again.
You got it.